When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
That'll do. We're back again. It is the Raw Milk Review. My name is Josh Cook, and I am joined, as ever, by Callum Gibson. Gibby, how are you?
Yes, steady away, Chief. Yourself?
Yeah, not so bad, mate. How's it going? Happy New Year, I guess I should say.
You can just about sneak that one in. I'll let you have that one.
Come on. It had to be done, didn't it? Right, let's start off nice and quick then. What have you had for your tea?
Well, again, I'm not going to do the pretentious Chorlton vibe any good here. I had some Your Sushi, but It wasn't from Your Sushi. It was from the co-op, and it was reduced to clear, so it balances out a bit.
Was it actually Your Sushi, or was it co-op's own sushi?
No, it's Your Sushi sell bits in co-op now. You can buy brand of... Yeah, there's co-op sushi, and the next shelf up, you've got the Your Sushi stuff in co-op. Does that make sense?
I'm just going to write that down. Yeah, I've never had that. Do you know what? Sushi's probably my least favourite. If someone said to me, what do you fancy having for tea? Do you know if you were going out?
Yeah.
I think sushi would be my least
favourite. Well, I love it, me, because I'm a greedy bastard, and you can have a lot, and it's still relatively good for you.
That's true.
And it's tasty. It's in that triumvirate of tasty. You can have a lot, and it's not going to kill you. It's a rare sort of sector to be in, really.
Depends how much soy sauce you put on it, though, as well, I guess.
It does. It does indeed.
I had some chicken. It's pretty boring, chicken and rice, really. I'm actually, what's new in your world anyway? Because the reason that I'm doing that is because I'm going to Morocco on Saturday for 2 weeks. We were cultural exchange 2 weeks, and it's like Ramadan and that over there, so it'd be two weeks no drinking and stuff like that.
Jumping, yeah. Get yourself an iftar, get yourself a bit of food.
Oh, yeah, I'm absolutely buzzing for that. That's the only reason I'm going, really. But, plenty. I don't know. What's it going to be over there? Like hummus, tagine, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, tagine.
Yeah, I'm absolutely buzzing.
That's it. We're from Aki. We don't know Moroccan cuisine that well.
I know, yeah. Is tzatziki sure not... is Greek?
Is it Greek?
Yeah, I think it might be.
I was deceived by the name. But tagine, I'll give you that.
Tagine's in
olives.
There. Couscous.
Couscous, yeah, olives.
Olives.
I'm imagining lots of meats, like grilled meats.
I'm thinking like charcoal meats. Yeah, which is, you know, absolutely top of the list. What's new with you? Anything new or not?
No, nothing new. Just beavering away. Live my best life, you know. Still adapting to the fact that a man from Accrington wandering the streets of Chorlton tends to bring the property prices down, sadly.
For everyone in Chorlton.
Yeah. Well, good. I mean, it's I do appreciate the Stanley more when I go back, because you get that vibe where sort of home games become away games in a sense. So when I do go back on the train now, I'll have a few cans on the train, and I tend to have a few beers.
Yeah.
I haven't been to Coley's Bar yet. I couldn't make the Charlton game. a prior engagement, so I'm looking forward to that, the next home game I can go to. Probably Gillingham this Saturday, actually. But exciting times.
Yeah, it really is. And well, we can go into that, can't we, really, right away. I didn't get there either, that Charlton game, and obviously I'm not going to be there now till I come back from this trip. So I think it's going to be, looking at it, I think it's Burton for me. Is that Good Friday, Burton? Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah, so you'll be going for a Burton on the Burton game. Fantastic.
Exactly, yeah. So, yeah, I'm going to be... That's the first time I'm going to see it. But it looks really impressive, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, I've had three separate friends text me saying, have you been in that Coley's bar? Me, no. Them, it's too good for us. It's too nice for us.
Really?
So, high expectations. I do like the fact they're opening it pretty much as a pub. So, it was open for Cheltenham. It was open Friday night. They're trying to get the community sort of involved there.
The issue I have with that is, how long does that last, I think? Do you know if it's dying or
death? There's a novelty to it, isn't there, initially?
Yeah, there is.
Yeah. I mean, it depends on what they do. I mean, I can't see it opening every day, but if you have certain things on certain nights, you might get away with it.
That's true. So, yeah, if they have, like they say, the Grand National, Cheltenham last week.
Yeah, and things like, you know, the supporters club meetings will be there, won't they, from now on? Things
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, and all so those events. And it'll be a nice venue for sort of sportsmen's dinners and stuff like that as well, won't it?
Yeah, christenings, birthdays, things like that. That's the aim, really. To have a function room that can make a profit away from the football club. That's the aim, I think. That it's not just the match day turnover and income.
Yeah, and I think that, I mean, well, they used to do that even with the old one, didn't they? But it's really, really sort of, it's really marketable, that place. It's absolutely brand spanking new. It looks the part. It looks really good. Yeah, I'm excited to see it, must admit. And yeah, I don't know, it's just onwards and upwards, isn't it? That's another outlet for us to make money, and hopefully that sort of gets spent on the pitch as well. Hopefully we see that in the coming years sort of come into fruition, and we carry on building the stadium and building a decent little team as well.
Yeah, certainly positive. I mean, again, slowly chipping away at the sort of the tin pot image, isn't it? That's been cultivated over the years. A great facility, not just for matchgoers of the club, but a good facility for the town, which is a great thing.
Do you think we ever get rid of that tin pot feel? Do you think we ever get rid of that moniker? Do you think people just will be known as that forever?
Well, I think mud sticks, but I also think, I mean, the tin pot thing is interesting because it was a backhanded compliment and it reflected the fact the only reason we were tin pot is because the team was so far ahead of the club. You know, three promotions in 6 years for any non-league team will make them look tin pot. If you take Clitheroe and get them into League One now, which is basically what Coley's done, they'd look tin pot. So I'd rather look tin pot and catch up than have the world's greatest stadium and be lingering. So Bradford are in League Two. Stockport and Wrexham are in the Conference, aren't they? You know, so I've always took the tin pot thing with a bit of salt, but I used to be quite naive, and I used to say to people, I don't understand why people complain about the facilities, because when I go to an away game, if Stanley get hammered 5-0, I would never turn to someone and go, we lost 5-0, but those toilets, oh, terrific. But I see now that there is a culture of support, and there is a, if you've got a family, for example, that wants that. You know, they don't find not having hot running water charming. They find it, oh, I'm not coming here again. So
yeah, especially when you've got to charge League Two, League One prices as well.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. I mean, if you were charging 20 quid to go to the cinema and you got in and it was someone's house, you know, and they made you sit on a manky settee and watch a VHS of Rambo, you'd be fuming. Great
film,
that's
true. Yeah.
And again, it's all about building the image. So people, I think partially because of the facilities, people don't, in the town, sometimes don't realise the level we operate at. So people would say to me, how much is it to go on Stanley? Say 20 quid, and they go bananas because they think it's like paying 20 quid to watch Paddy.
Yeah.
They don't realise you're a third-tier club. You compete against Sunderland, Ipswiches, Portsmouth, things like that. And if we can get that sheen on things, that becomes more sort of apparent, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know about you, but next season I'd absolutely love to go and try I don't know, maybe try and get a table there as well with a few of the lads and just have a bit of a knees up in there as well.
Yeah, that would be good. And also, let's just take a moment to think about, you know, it's easy to look back with, you know, League One eyes on structures that were built in the Cheshire League and Northwest Counties. You know, people did the best at the time with what they could afford and with the resources they had. You know, they weren't to know we'd be in the Football League. And there would have been a time when those resources looked great and were sort of some of the best in the league. So, you know, time marches on. It was sad to leave the clubhouse, but time marches on. But we mustn't forget that, you know, that clubhouse only became embarrassing through the efforts of John Coleman and the team. It wasn't built that way. And my hat off to those people who gave the time and effort to...
Yeah, I mean, I think back to when I was a kid as well, running around in that little bar. It hadn't changed much even till this year, but some really good times there and some good memories of when Stanley really became something really important to me. So, yeah, you know, obviously, I'm not too sad to see it go.
It was the first, that old clubhouse was the first place I bought a pint when I was 15.
Really?
Yeah, I was 15. We won the conference. And my dad sent me to the bar, and they served me. So yeah, he's got that distinction. I'll be looking for the blue plaque on the wall next time I go.
Yeah, and even as close back to the championship winning season. Remember when it was £1 pints in there after the game, and we were all sort of waiting for the league table to come up when we were top, and everyone was celebrating. Some really good videos of that, and. Yeah, top notch. But yeah, absolutely, can't wait to get in that new place and sample. I think they've got Madrias on as well, which is fast becoming a favourite of mine.
Yeah, Madri, sort of semi-owned by Coors. You see in a lot of places now. It's quite the tipple. So we'll get in there and we'll sample a few Madris and hopefully see many wins and you know, maybe hopefully that Coley's bar can create its own slice of history and be the place where we celebrate, you know, another promotion or another giant killing.
Yeah, definitely. I think it has the potential to do that. Well, so okay then, thinking about that, let's move on to the team and sort of where this season's gone to. I think we should probably mention that, you know, it's completely on me the fact that we haven't done many of these this season. You know, I do apologize to people, but there's been many a reason for that. And I don't really feel like I've got to massively justify why we've not been doing them, but you know, we've had our reasons, trust me, and soz about that. But yeah, you know, it has been a while since we spoke last time. The season has sort of petered out. I remember last time we spoke, it looked as though we were very much in the mix for promotion, as it does in League Two and League One, many, many seasons up until the last couple of months or so. But I think that we can categorically say now that the season has sort of come to a bit of an end. We're 13th currently. We are just quickly grazing at the table, 16 points off the playoffs, and we are 17 points off the drop. So we are absolutely perfectly sandwiched into the league, really. On that beautiful 50-point mark, which, you know, as many of us have said over the years, is the magic number, really. And John Coleman says that himself.
Yeah, that's always the game plan. It's always the aim at the start of the season, I think. Me being pessimistic after over 20 years of glory, I always say to you that, would you a dip at some point? It has to come. And I always take four go down, don't they? So I'd always take fifth bottom on goal difference if you offer me at the start of the season. So to be comfortably mid-table, I think we're a little bit blasé these days about how amazing and miraculous an achievement that is. You know, Stockport County down the road from us, just under 10,000 on in the conference of the day. You know, there are some huge clubs in League One, League Two, the conference, and the conference north, where you see like Darlow and Boston and York City dwelling these days. So for us to be mid-table in the third tier of English football, for us to stay up would be miraculous, for us to be comfortably mid-table and in no danger whatsoever, is one of English football's sort of greatest success stories, really. One of the biggest achievements of the season. But we're so used to overachieving that it doesn't feel that way. You know,
well,
it's
I mean...
football.
Sorry, go on.
It's the old football dichotomy, isn't it? If you're fourth from bottom on the last day of the season and you get a last-minute winner and you stay up on goal difference, it's a great season. But if you're comfortably mid-table, it's boring and people start to get a bit itchy feet and start to complain a little bit. But we can't really complain at what's gone on this season. Some great wins. And if you're going to win games, I think it's better to win your home games. You know, keep your home crowd happy. And we've had some great sort of top wins there. Rotherham, when they came to us top of the league on Boxing Day. We've done Wickham there. You know, we're unbeaten in, I think it's 8 games at home now. So the Crown Ground is a fortress. And if we can just tweak our away form a little bit next year, there isn't any reason why we can't challenge.
Yeah, I mean, it has been just sort of ifs, buts and maybes, hasn't it? It would be a little bit silly of us to sort of... I think it's a strange one, isn't it? Because I think a lot of people have been a little bit vocal about sort of the away form in particular and how it's not really gone our way away from home this season, and quite rightfully so. We're going to touch on that a little bit more in a little while.
It's testament to Coley's genius that we expect to get results. I mean, even somewhere like Plymouth, right? We don't get excited about playing Plymouth now. We don't view them as a big club now. But they are. They're at least a Burnley-sized club. They're getting 5 figures on. There's nothing near them for 40 miles. You know, they turn up, especially away from home. If the big clubs turn up, we're going to get battered. You know, we need them to have a bit of an off day and for us to play really well. And the fact we are used to competing and we expect to go to these places and turn them over is testament to Coley's genius. You look at Morecambe, which we'll come back to later. They're getting 4,500 home fans on this year. We should be where Morecambe are, not in terms of gates, but in terms of player recruitment, in terms of the struggle to stay in this league. That should be us. It's only for the grace of Coleman that we're not.
Well, we used to look at Morecambe for a long time with envy as well, didn't we? I mean, even in the last, you know, 10 years ago in League Two, I used to look at them and think, oh, they seem to just be, they just have to shit together a little bit more than we do. Which is absolutely untrue. I think it's a strange one. And I think that Stanley are in, like I've said, we are going to touch on this in about 10, 15 minutes time. But I think we're in a very, very rare position of a football club where we do have to sort of say to ourselves, and I am one of these people as well. I am very much against the idea of sort of saying, you know, well, we were playing, Lee RMI 20 years ago, so, you know, just be happy where you are. But I do think that there is also a sort of an allowance to what we've become. But I also am very much not of the I very much do believe that we are in that league with these clubs now, and we do sort of hold ourselves to their standards. I just think there's not that many clubs that can sort of say that. And that's why I think it's a difficult conversation around that topic. And I think that's why people sort of get irate, because they have very, very different opinions on it. I mean, you look at that Rotherham game, for example.
Coley's quote a few years ago is the right one, where he said, you can raise expectations, but you can't lower them. We've had 20, well, he came in 99, had that little break. So on and off, 23 years of glory now for the club. 4 promotions, many, many cup wins, giant killings, 1 league below Blackburn, 1 league below Blackburn and Burnley, the way it's going next season. Mm. He's delivered things that were unimaginable even 10 years ago, never mind 20 years ago. He's delivered so much for the club and for the town, and he's given people who've seen those days some of the, you know, it's not hyperbole to say, there's literally some of the best days of my life are down to that man. And I think that's why sometimes when you see, you know, him being attacked, when you know he's the reason that we're in a privileged position to have that attack, it can sometimes, you know, it can irritate a little bit or be a bit sort of uncomfortable, you know.
I've just said to you twice, let's do it in 15, 20 minutes. You're going to drag me kicking and screaming into this, aren't you? So let's do it now. There was an issue on Saturday online, I guess, after the Plymouth game. Listen, we got beat 4-0 away from Plymouth. By all accounts, absolutely dreadful performance. And at the end, I think there was an issue with you know, some people believing that the players and the coaching staff didn't show the away fans the respect that they deserved, really. And there comes this conversation that was then being had by many, many Stanley fans on Saturday. Everything that you have just said is absolutely true. Everything that this club knows now and everything that this club knows in its football is down to that man and Jimmy Bell and the things that they've done in the last 23 years, like you just said there. That does not take away from the fact, I think, that he should not be above criticism in terms of the day, you know, the their actions in one game. You know, if you think that they've made a bad decision in terms of bringing a player on, if you think that they've set up wrong tactically, you know, I think it's a very dangerous situation for a football club to have a manager to be in a position where they can't be criticised. I don't think for one minute that that's what we're saying at all. And I think that maybe things get lost on Twitter, don't they? And mm-hmm. I think that maybe, well, I know for a fact that many points that I make on Twitter sort of go, they're either misunderstood by people or they are completely ignored on purpose by people, because some of the replies I get, I just think to myself, why do I even bother trying to explain myself at times? That's absolutely not what I'm saying. But I think the point that we are both trying to make, and you're going to make it much better than I'll be able to in a second or so. And I made this point in December as well on Twitter, and I was sort of a little bit chastised for it, I think, by both people that I don't know and also by people that I do know. Looking back at that, I was a little bit disappointed with some of the replies by people. But everything that we buy into as a football club and everything that has made us marketable and very in with new people and attracting new fans is because of those two. So the two go hand in hand, end of. And it's not very, you know, people can sit there and say, you know, I've bought into this club and I love it and I love everything about it. You can't then sit there, in my opinion, and call for John Coleman to be sacked when we sit 13th in League One. That is a complete misunderstanding of the Stanley way that everyone talks about and the Stanley family that is the new thing on everyone's lips at the minute. The two go hand in hand. And to understand where we are now, I think that you have to understand the part that John Coleman has played in that.
I mean, I said it earlier and I'll say it again. You know, let's say a random scouser, let's call him Ron Stallman, rocked up at Clitheroe next week and within 20 years, Clitheroe were in League One and they were playing Sunderland and Portsmouth and Ipswich and they finished that season mid-table in League One. You know, as an outsider, if you then saw Clitheroe fans calling for that person's head, it is going to rattle you. But the point you make, you know, no one's immune to criticism, but if Coley didn't make mistakes, he wouldn't be managing us. He'd be a Premier League manager. Same for the players. They don't lose on purpose, you know, and it depends on what you expect, I suppose, from games. You know, you made the point the other day that when we go away, it's a crack with the lads. It's a day representing your town, representing your borough, representing that badge on your chest. And you hope that you win, but you go more in hope than expectation. Yeah, I mean, it's a dangerous culture that we're in. I mean, like I said to you before, the point I was making that, you know, if somebody took over Clitheroe FC tomorrow, a random scouser called Ron Stallman, and within 20 years, Clitheroe were in League One, and they finished mid-table in League One. As an outsider, if you were to see that support, that manager get, you know, get not just criticised, but asked to leave, or you heard sort of get him out sort of ideologies, that would seem quite shocking. And it does here, a lot of away supporters say to me, I wish we had Coleman. How good's Coleman been for you? Coleman, one of the best managers in the league. And it's hurtful when, you know, Accrington as a town doesn't always have the best of times. You know, we've had austerity, you know, we've had severe poverty. We haven't had a lot to shout about over the last 20 years. And the football club's been a beacon of light for the town and it's given people something to get behind and be proud of and put us on the map. And that is down to the work of John Coleman and Jimmy Bell. If you buy into the ethos of Accrington Stanley and what makes it great, you know, the best bits of non-league combined with the best bits of professionalism, that is down to those two men. And they're not immune to criticism. I don't subscribe to this ideology of, oh, we used to play Congleton, it's fine. It isn't. But they don't lose on purpose. As long as they have a goal, that's all we can ask from them. And it's a dangerous game, I think, to travel to any football match with expectation or the idea you're owed something. You know, this culture of not us, but other clubs that you see now where supporters want refunds when they get beat away from home, or clubs offer refunds. And you think, well, you don't pay more when they win. Our away form has been very poor all season. The odds were that Plymouth were going to turn us over. I texted my dad in the morning and said, I fancy we'll get battered today. You know, but you go to represent your town, you enjoy it, come what may. And now and again, when we do get a smash and grab, it's all worthwhile. But to question us when we're mid-table in League One, I'll say that again, Accrington Stanley Football Club, one of the smallest clubs in the Football League, from one of the smallest towns in the Football League, a mid-table in League One, with clubs that we think are miles bigger than us, and swap places with us in a heartbeat. We need to take stock of what we are, still be ambitious, still criticise certain elements. You can disagree with tactical choice, you can disagree with subs, but in a constructive way, and in a way where you're still taking stock of where we are and how well we're doing. You know, if you're used to eating from bins, and then all of a sudden someone's buying you sirloin steaks every day, and you get used to the sirloin steaks, you might start to kick off because you want lobster now. But the sirloin steaks are coming from someone who found you when you're in that bin. It's very churlish to criticise them. You know, so criticise, but I think there has to be an element of perspective about how far we have come. The journey's not over yet, and we can only continue on that journey if people buy into the ethos and we come together.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of people have, you know, I've seen a lot of things about sort of, it's not, you know, I feel like I'm not allowed an opinion, et cetera, et cetera. That's absolutely not what we're saying. The whole idea of us even doing this podcast was, and me, you know, me doing Raw Milk before that on Twitter as well, I wanted it to be a really positive place where people just at the end of the day were talking about Accrington Stanley. What happened on Saturday and then the sort of the overspill of it on Sunday, I find that stuff really upsetting. I don't want to see any of that, and I don't think that it has any place in our football club. I think that you do see it with other football clubs, and I think that they look at in envy at us in a way, because they see that we don't have any of that. And you know, Paul Baldwin made a good point as well yesterday, where he said the fan base isn't big enough to have these splits in them. It's really not. And you know, people are allowed their opinion, absolutely, 100%. You pay your money, you know. A lot of those lads made that trip on Saturday as well, and they were unhappy. But what I don't like is the sort of 6-hour bombardment of individual players and calling them out on Twitter, you know, quite personally, when realistically those players, I think, are going to see that. And I don't really agree with that. And then just to touch on sort of, you know, people are 100% allowed their opinions. But I'll tell you something else as well. I'm fucking allowed mine, and you're allowed yours. And, you know, if it doesn't agree with another person's outlook, that's absolutely fine. That's what an opinion is. But as soon as we get into sort of people, you know, messaging me, you know, about personal things and sort of going into my personal life, I find that absolutely unacceptable, and I will not stand for that. And that's the stuff that I think needs to stop in our football club. Bring the opinion, bring you, you know, everyone loves chatting football. That's what we all love chatting about in the beer gardens after the games, isn't it? But when you're getting into personal stuff about, realistically, what is it at the end of the day? Because I've got a different opinion to you on this slight issue. You know, I don't think that's acceptable, really. And I don't think that we should stand for it as a fan base either.
Yeah. I mean, it was disappointing that, you know, you were subjected to quite a harsh personal attack, which is one uncalled for. And two, you know, I'd hope that other supporters wouldn't stand for that behaviour as well.
Well, you know, I mean, on reflection of that as well, I mean, you know, it comes with the territory, doesn't it? I think I tweet a little bit about politics on the account as well. Some people like that, some people don't. I absolutely understand that. And I think that a lot of the sort of the really personal stuff I get comes from the politics stuff, because people don't agree with my politics, which absolutely is fair enough. I don't think it needs to be as nasty as that. I think that another thing that I'd like to say on it is just that there's a lot of people on there that I respect, and there's a lot of people that I've grown up with on that platform, and there's a lot of people who know me, know you as well, and what we stand for as a collective doing this, know my family, know my granddad, know my uncle, my mum, my dad, and know what we stand for as a family. And what I'd be upset at is somebody seeing that and thinking that it would be acceptable for someone to speak to me in that way and not sort of have anything to say about it. So yeah, I was a little bit disappointed with that. And like I say, it upsets me, that sort of thing. But I don't want to dwell on it too much, I guess. But yeah, I'd just cut out all that bollocks, me, because I think it's just bullshit. And like I say, you know, everyone's allowed their opinion, but we're allowed ours as well. So if you don't like it, lump it.
It's, you know, it's symbolic of the internet in general, isn't it? You know,
well, it's society, isn't it, as well? It's
yeah, don't say anything to somebody online that you wouldn't say to them in the street, type thing, isn't it? And you know, people are entitled to their opinions, but if you confront that opinion with facts of your own that support your opinion, for people to turn nasty or to twist it into a straw man argument and pretend you've said something you haven't is just. It's just a bit silly, isn't it, at the end of the
day?
Well,
that was it on Sunday as well. I wasn't making any sort of particular point centered around any group or anyone individual either. I was just saying that over the last 5 years, wow, as a fan base, we've sort of forgotten where, you know, we've been spoiled. Yeah, let's talk about then, I want us to talk for, we've got a couple of minutes left in this episode then. What have been your highlights of the season, do you think, in terms of matches in particular?
Yeah, not so much the matches themselves, because they weren't the best, but I've enjoyed renewing rivalries with Morecambe. You know, the trip to the Bay, it's always good fun. And to come from 2-0 down at home when we all panicked and thought, you know, they've had the glory season. They're giving the Billy big bollocks about how many they bring away when they usually bring a thimbleful to the crown. Not that we bring more over there. I'm just saying that, you know, they were going on that. They always bring more, which they don't. The 2-0 up very early on, you think this could be humiliating. This.
Will you stop lighting that round.
Hmm?
Stop lighting your cig.
No, I am playing with a lighter. I'll just put it down. Itchy hands today.
Yeah.
Yeah, to go 2-0 down so early on to the old enemy, pull it back, and then we really should have won both games. You know, we've taken 2 points, and we should have easily had six. And in both those games, we could have had six goals. So they were a highlight for me. Also, the Charlton game, you know, away from home, Harry Pell masterclass, turned them over comfortably. It's becoming something of quite a happy hunting ground there. You know, we've got quite a good record there now.
Apart from the time that we went...
Yeah, that's it. The time we went, we lost to a stoppage time penalty and Johnny Wallace got attacked for the Charlton one. And the other two times, we've absolutely schooled them, including live on Sky last year when that Charlton fan had a meltdown. Check that out if you haven't seen it. I think he had a meltdown again this time. I'll try and find it. But we've had our arses handed to us by Accrington fucking Stanley!
Super. Yeah, that was excellent.
So that was a great win. Doing Rotherham on Boxing Day, bumper crowd on Boxing Day.
Yeah, that was the one. League.
We're struggling, you know. That was a good crack.
That was the one that I was talking about, and it was such a good atmosphere that, and it was really good in the crown afterwards as well, wasn't it? I brought my Burnley supporting mates on that day, and because their game was off, and they brought their dads. And it was such a good day that.
It's always good. It's always nervous. It's nerve wracking, isn't it, when you bring someone? You're like, please be a good atmosphere today, you know, make them think it's good. And when they go away and they say things like, oh, it's not like this at the turf, or they've better atmosphere than Ewood, you go, yeah, this is great, you know, rather than bringing them to a nil-nil against, you know, Dog and Duck on a Tuesday night. So yeah, the Rotherham game was great. Just trying to think of other sort of highlights, really.
I'd say I think that's a good thing. I think the Morecambe game in particular was decent because I think it was really nice to come back into the game, and like you say, probably a little bit disappointing not to win it. Where would you stand in terms of Morecambe and Fleetwood staying in the division?
Morecambe, it's a win-win for me. If they go down, I'll laugh at some of the fans giving the big one. If they stay up, great. I love that derby. Fleetwood could just get fucked.
I don't give a shit about those Fleetwood games.
I don't look forward to them. I don't see them as a rival. They're just fucking animals. The way they behave at the crowd, smashing the bogs up, the little chavvy fan base. You know, if it falls on a Saturday, you can have a few beers in Blackpool. That's the only thing I would say about Fleetwood away. But yeah, Morecambe. If it was down to the two, I'd rather Fleetwood went down than Morecambe.
Even though we'd more have more fun at Morecambe going down, I'd say yeah. the exact same thing.
The thing with Morecambe is it used to be, I've said to you before, it used to be a generational thing. So, you know, I've always looked up to Morecambe in a way when we're in non-league. Christie Park, the North Terrace, you wanted to be Morecambe. And there's a friendly respect, you know, when they made the conference playoffs, Stanley fans waiting their end with the big flags and things.
Mm.
And they've always hated us more than we hate them because, you know, there's nothing else there. They've outgrown Lancaster City. But this year, they've really upped it. They've got fair play, done well. Cheap prices, got 2,000 extra fans from somewhere. Fantastic. Good on you. 4,000 at home. Superb. But it's this thing of pretending it's always been that way. You know, a few years ago, just like we did, so I'm not giving it Billy Big Bollocks, just a few years ago, they had less than 1,000 on against Colchester, all in, you know, mm-hmm. and we've done the same, but we don't go around pretending the gates have always been a certain way.
Well, I think we mentioned it, didn't we? They seem to have this new sort of, they found this new generation of family, much like we have this year, actually, we are young lads, but they're very vocal on Twitter, these young boys, that they've always been, you know, getting 4,000 at home, which is just a bit fucking mental.
Yeah, and again, we were a little bit, earlier on in the season, we were a little bit jealous because they were doing all right at the time. They were like mid-table, weren't they?
Yeah, they started off really well, didn't they?
Yeah, and then they got the crack of having Buxton away. And then after that, they got Spurs away. And they also beat Rovers in the League Cup away. And you thought, fucking hell, here we go. Lucky bastards. But obviously, Stephen Robinson, Aki legend, comes in, signs a load of cloggers, then runs off back north to Scotland. Always welcome for a pint in the Crown, Stephen, if you're listening. And with their running, they play like four of the top six. I mean, if Derek Adams keeps them up, it'll be a saviour job because they look fucked to me. But like you say, you know, there's this new generation who are like, we get twice your gates. You only brought 700 to us. That's poor. And it's just that thing of enjoy your local team. I'm glad you go, but just read a book.
Mm.
Have a look at the history. Do you know what I mean? Think before you open your mouth. And for that reason, I wouldn't mind seeing them down, but we'd all slightly miss the derby, I think, if they did go down.
I think that's it. I think I really enjoyed that derby this year, and I think both games, and I think I'd love to have that stay in the division. They've had a terrible last month or so where they've just sort of lamented into what seems like proper relegation form. So if someone put a gun to my head now and said, you've got to choose, I'd say I'd like them to stay up, even if it did mean I'd have to put up with an insufferable week of seeing all them lads on Twitter giving it the big I am, and then next year sort of coming to town like the Morecambe Mafia. I'd still rather have that game. I still would, if I'm honest, yeah. But it would probably be a highlight of my year as well, just to see them.
Well, this was because of that dynamic. The Morecambe games are always good crack.
Yeah.
But the home game, especially this season, was the first time for me it's felt like a proper derby. Yeah,
it felt like a really big occasion, didn't it?
Yeah, must not lose. You've got the butterflies all week. You're looking forward to it, but also a bit apprehensive. You know, usually it's like, well, if we lose, they're 40 miles away. You're not going to hear about it anyway.
Mm.
But I thought, no, we have to get something here, and it'd be a shame to lose that. Because I've always said to you, the one thing I have missed about being in the league, I love being in the league, is we've not got like proper needle. Do you know what I mean? We sing about Barrow and Alty and Southport, but we've left them behind. You know, Burton's not really got that much needle to it. It'd be good to have a proper rivalry. With Bury's demise, you know, I've always said to you, I'd love to get something going with Rochdale because how close it is.
Mm.
But then they got relegated. I'd love to have a proper rivalry like that. And if we can keep that needle with Morecambe in a sensible way, you know, you do get that pre-match nerves and that build-up and must not lose, then it adds to our season, certainly.
I think it'd be a really positive thing to have that as well. And I think that even, you know, with us being sort of people that they probably see on Twitter as well, I think it'd be quite funny to sort of bump into them and have conversations with them along the way, wouldn't it? But yeah, do you know what? Forget about that. I hope you go down. Thank you for tuning into Raw Milk. Our theme music is Mr. Powder by Deja Vega. Our producer is Scott Bolton. Follow us at Raw Milk Zine on Twitter and Instagram and Raw Milk Fanzine on Facebook. You can also download, subscribe and like all of our podcasts at Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. Up the Reds! Podcast Network.